When you're young, feeling oh so strong, what can prove you wrong? Love and love alone. When the sun seems forever bright, what can dim its light?
Love. Chita Rivera received her 10th Tony Award nomination last month for her starring role in The Visit, a dark musical about an heiress and a murder plot that's now at the Lyceum Theater. Ms. Rivera plays Claire Zakanassian, a fabulously wealthy widow who returns to the hometown that she had fled years earlier to seek revenge against the man who'd broken her heart. She's here today with two longtime collaborators and fellow Tony Award nominees, Terrence McNally, who wrote the show's book, and John Kander, who, with his late partner Fred Ebb, composed the show's music. And we were just listening to Chita singing one of the songs from the show, Love and Love Alone. Welcome back to all of you.
Thank you. I took my headphones off because I hate hearing myself. I love doing it, but I hate hearing myself. Yeah. But that's from our record of the recording of the show, and I suddenly said, you know what, that doesn't sound so bad.
But you know, Chita, you're not alone. I've had so many people, musicians and singers, say, I can't listen to myself.
So true.
And I wonder why.
Well, I think, you know, Audra McDonald walked into my room, you know, my dressing room, and I just looked at her and I said, Audra, just one show I would like to have your voice to sing.
You can't compete with Audra McDonald.
Magnificent score. But, you know, you hear scores like this, you just want them to be perfect in your head. But my friend and composer says I'm perfect for it, so that's okay.
I understand you're now tied with the late Julie Harris for the number of times you've been nominated for a Tony.
Wow, I didn't know
that. It's good company.
Yeah.
Wow, what happened the last time? Did she win?
But I wonder whether it was as thrilling to hear your name announced this year as it was in 1961 when you were nominated the first time as Best Featured Actress in a musical in Bye Bye Birdie.
Yeah. You're asking if it's as exciting?
Does it always remain exciting?
Yeah, it's also surprising. You do a play because you want to. You want to work with the people. You're an artist, and so you think about the play. You don't think about all that other stuff.
Yeah, but it's interesting that you won the award twice for The Rink in 1984.
Yep.
Which you co-starred with Liza Minnelli, Kiss of the Spider-Woman in 1993. And for both of those productions, you worked with pretty much the same creative team. Music and lyrics by John Kander, Fred Ebb, and a book by Terrence McNally.
There you go. How lucky can you get? That's also a song written by Fred and John.
John, was The Visit the last musical you wrote with Fred Ebb?
It was actually not the last project that we started. I just have to interject something. Fred and I wrote a song for Chita about losing, because she was not winning these nominations, and suddenly she got a Tony, and we had to cancel the song.
And I mean, I almost wanted to give up that Tony to keep that song, because that song still. I called you because I want those lyrics. It is so much fun, this song. And he's right. I had to stop doing it.
Anyway, Fred and I had started on this piece, and for various reasons, it got delayed.
15 years, the show, isn't it?
At least. Well, let's see. It's
2014. 14, we opened in 2001, a few days after 9/11. In Chicago.
And then it didn't come to Broadway because of what happened.
A lot of reasons. Nobody from New York saw it. No one was traveling in those days. And then the mood was, a dark show. People just want very light entertainment to get their minds off what's happening. And then getting, you know, talented people are also busy people. Getting everybody, I'm free, I can do it. And we did a second production 6 years, 5 years later in D.C.
Right. Fred died in 2004.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So and D.C.
was after Fred.
Well, the first production was canceled after Angela Lansbury, who was going to play
Claire.
Well,
we just did a workshop with that. She
had to pull out because her husband died?
He was very sick, and she had to pull out in order to take care of him, which she did till he died.
And, Chidi, you were going to be in the production that was canceled because of 9/11.
Yeah.
So you've been connected to the show in one way or another for a very long time.
Yeah, I have. And each production that we did was really quite wonderful. I mean, I thought, what's wrong with these people? Each one of these productions was, in their own way, it was Frank Galati as director and Ryan King as choreographer. And they did remarkable things. And the companies were excellent. So, you know, you have no answers with anything, particularly this business. And so you just kind of let it go and hope that one day. But now it's completely different, and as it's supposed to be, and it's just taken those 14 years to reach this point.
And, Terrence, I understand that you made some revisions to it for the current production at the request of John Doyle, the director. Was it his idea to perform it in a single act without an intermission rather than the three acts it was?
No.
No.
How many acts was it?
It was in two acts, but it was John.
Which is what most shows are
today.
Yeah,
and it was John's idea to put it in one act, and I was startled. And I think John might have been startled, but we said, John Kander, and we said, let's try it. And it worked like a charm. And he, collaborating this time with Graziel Daniel, our wonderful choreographer, we did some nips and tucks, some rearranging, and we did it at Williamstown this previous summer, and it just worked in a way it never has before, and people wanted to bring it to New York, and that's the long and short of it.
I wonder if you have any reservations about playing the lead in a play without any intermissions.
No.
Nice to get a little breather. You wind up spending most of the performance on stage 8 times a week, and younger actors have complained about how exhausting that schedule
can
be. That's
their problem. That is seriously their problem. I mean, if you care about the play, then I know what I know because I've been around a long time and I've worked with the very best artists and creators. And when that happened, because I'm used to two acts, and I love two acts. You know, but then all of a sudden this started to really move, and I knew why he had decided to do this. He wanted to get to that story that Terrence had written so beautifully, and that's exactly what we did. I mean, you know, it doesn't allow anybody to go to the bathroom and discuss the last scene. You know, I mean, you just keep them there. And the odd but interesting thing, I have not even told Terrence and John this, is that I'm used to lighter pieces and two acts, so I have a lot of fun backstage and clowning around and talking to my fellow artists, and I have no time for any of that, and I am exhausted at the end of this play, emotionally, not physically, mm-hmm. but emotionally. So it's very interesting for me, the play itself.
Hey, John, I've read that you were asked to change the orchestration for several songs for this production, but that none were cut. In fact, weren't you asked to write a new song to be sung by Anton, the character who Claire has returned to avenge?
That happened actually with the production in D.C. This Anton song, I Must Have Been Something, was something that Freddie and I had started, but we didn't finish. But that was a new song for that production, but most of what was done on this production musically had to do with reorchestration and boiling things down. Just to take a second, what John Doyle did, I think, he did two brilliant things. he boiled this piece down to its essence.
It's called the Doyle Boyle.
That's very nice.
Very good.
That would look good on a poster. And the other thing was that he kept young Claire and young Anton on stage the entire time.
Yeah.
And that was totally John. It was a brilliant move, I think.
Now, you have said that when you first started working on this, the first thing that came to mind was waltzes, Vienna-style operettas. What about cabaret? Because there's also a similar feel in some of the music.
But I didn't feel that. What I realized when we started working on this, really very early on, that was that Duramont, in his play, had taken the plot of The Merry Widow exactly, and had... I'm quite convinced he did this very consciously, and turned it on its head into a terrible indictment of the society that was producing that action. Once I realized that, then it got pretty waltzy. And the first,
but it is Swiss. It's not Austrian.
I'm sorry.
Play is Swiss.
But the plot. Immediately made me think of that. So the first thing we wrote for the piece was a waltz called "You, You, You," and I found myself musically anyway, just sort of unconsciously loading up the score with waltzes. Sometimes even when they're very nasty things being said,
which is good.
but it tickled me when I realized it.
Terrence, when the play opens, we see the residents of this desperately poor town of Rocken, Switzerland, preparing for Claire Zachanassian's arrival by train. They say she's the wealthiest woman in the world, and the townspeople hope that she'll give them some money as
a
returning former
without
resident.
Without her checkbook, yeah, they've really fallen on hard times. And but let me add what John said. When you collaborate on a musical, usually they're based on another source. In this case, The Visit, a play we all admire. But when I was approached and I first met with John and Fred, I said, I think that's a great love story hidden here, too. And they agreed. The play is pretty much just about revenge. I think the musical is equally about love and the terrible decisions we make in our lives and we rue till our death that we didn't go with the right person. And I find the show very moving and very redemptive, and not just a tale. Yes, she does get her revenge, but I think
we
Anton,
don't want to spoil it, although probably know.
But Anton saves his soul. She saves his soul. And to me, her white dress that Sheeta wears, it not just represents a wedding gown, it's an angel of forgiveness, I think, and mercy. And it's a very complicated show. There's a lot of entertainment and humor in it, but I'm moved always, and I still wrestle with the meaning of the show. It's rich psychologically and emotionally. And I hear the audience discussing the show when it's over in a way that thrills me because, frankly, a lot of musicals, we say, oh, that was a lot of fun. Where are we going to eat?
Yeah.
Our audiences are stirred, and they want to talk about what they've seen. And I think they've been given, and they're seeing a legendary actress at the height of her powers. Cheetah's never been better. And I go back to West Side Story as a student.
You get
Columbia,
a standing ovation for 5 minutes when you enter.
Well, every time I look at her, I say, that's Anita, the dance in the gym, the mambo, a boy like that, tonight, that quintet. Cheetah was part of that in Candor and Ebb. I'm working with iconic people, and that's a privilege, too. And we have a lot of fun.
Well, when they told you that they had an operetta in mind,
that
must have affected the way you wrote the book.
Not really, no. I love all forms of music. John and I are seen more likely at the Metropolitan Opera than at a Broadway theater.
That's right.
So it was shorthand. I knew what John meant, that it was not going to be a dissonant, difficult, unpleasant score. It was going to be a romantic, a score that pulled you in.
We have to take a little break. My guests are Terrence McNally, John Kander, and Cheetah Rivera. We're talking about The Visit finally making it to Broadway after all these years. It's at the Lyceum Theater on West 45th Street on the other side of Broadway from most theaters, but a wonderful old theater. And we are going to go into the break with Yellow Shoes, which is one of the songs. It's sung by the townspeople.
Thank you, God, now that you know that I'm so well shod. Don't you agree that it's really odd? Folks used to think I was poor. People who call themselves the elite are people who take good care of their feet. So I'm strolling in yellow shoes, light as a feather in yellow shoes. Hell-bent for leather, they keep out the damn. Say I'm no tramp, I walk like a champ in yellow.
Puerto Rico, you ugly island, island of tropic diseases. Always the hurricanes blowing, always the population growing. And the bullets flying. I like the island Manhattan. Smoke on your pipe and put a thud in.
I like to be in America.
Cheetah Rivera singing America with Marilyn Cooper from her breakout performance in West Side Story. 1957, was it? Ed, your voice sounds exactly the same.
Oh, no, it doesn't. You are very kind.
It's down an octave.
It's down an octave, definitely.
The keys are lower.
But you've had roles in several productions before West Side Story. Was it just Anita that got you all of the real attention?
I don't know. I think it's the build-up, you know, because it was Shoestring Review. Well, probably West Side, you could say, really gave all of us, Carol Arts, Larry Kurt, all of us
Well, this character, Claire Zekanassian, is one of those delightfully single-minded evil characters who looks like so much fun for an actor to play. Can you identify with her on some level, even though everybody has always told me that you're really very nice?
No, I'm not. I mean, I actually, someone from the Times asked me years ago, what is there? Is there something about you that people don't know? And I said, yes, that I'm nowhere near as nice as I appear to be.
That's another show.
So I actually had T-shirts made up, you know.
I'm not all that nice.
When the story is great and you are directed well, most of all that story, if you just say those words, you learn. And yes, I can relate to her. I mean, we've all had love affairs that have failed. It's degrees, I think. Her degree is pretty extreme.
Yeah, I've wanted to avenge a few, but not to that point.
But you see, she goes into the spiritual thing. She goes into eternity. She goes, because what you don't see on that stage is that she takes that coffin to Capri, but she also joins him. So she does, you know, she says goodbye herself.
You've given away the whole plot.
I don't care. I think it's interesting.
Although you're completely able-bodied on stage, you use a cane and you walk with a limp because your character is supposed to have a prosthetic leg and a prosthetic hand.
Yeah.
She's a mess.
But indestructible.
That's right.
But she's still the richest woman in the world. John, you and Fred wrote an extremely clever song called I Walk Away to help her explain how she got so wealthy. Do you remember if you wrote that early in the show or later in the show's development?
We wrote that early in the show, and there was another moment like that later on, and we worked hard to find some way to combine the elements of both songs and putting it in that opening song.
I'll bet it makes you laugh even now.
Well, she makes me laugh. it's a moment which I do love. The what I really love is watching Cheetah up there. I just do, and I say this all the time, but it's true. I'm watching a great artist at the peak of her powers, standing up and giving acting lessons, if you will, on how to concentrate, how to be still and not be fake, florid. I think it's just brilliant.
Now, what came first, Cheetah, the singing and dancing? Because you were a dancer when you started. When did the acting come in?
It came along the way. West Side, dancers are actors without words. So you're then given wonderful words, and you're pretty much more of a complete person.
All the great dancers have been wonderful. Classical ballet dancers are great actors.
Baryshnikov turned out to be pretty good.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But very few dancers on Broadway sing as well as Cheetah. You were blessed with a great voice, too. Well,
is the story I've heard true that you only started dancing because when you were 11 years old, your mother was looking for a way to use all of your excess energy?
Yeah. She was actually trying to save the furniture because I was breaking it.
And then you were accepted to George Balanchine's School of American Ballet.
Yes, yes.
Did Balanchine himself really watch you audition and then bandage a blister on your leg?
Yes, he did. Yes, that's exactly what did happen. And I did not know it was Mr. Balanchine. Had I known, I don't know what would have happened. But this very sweet gentleman told me that there was a blister and my foot was bleeding and sent somebody out for a band-aid, and there I was with my foot on Mr. Balanchine's leg. So,
and you were accepted immediately after
that? Yeah, I was. It was a blister, I think, that did it.
Terrence, getting back to The Visit, ostensibly the reason you are all here, Claire travels with a butler and two blind eunuchs who wear tuxedos, yellow gloves, and shoes and sing in high falsettos. Well, I'm sure that's not all in the Derrimut play, but is any of that from the Derrimut?
Yes, it is.
It's all there. And these are all three men who were instrumental in her great disgrace as a young woman when they lied in a court of law about what had happened. They claimed that they'd all slept with her and that anyone could be the father of her illegitimate child. And in a sense, she was banned from the village and cast out into a very hostile, unfriendly world. She is the original self-made woman. But these are all characters in the Derrimut. I think John and Fred and I cared very much about respecting the tonality of the play. We think Derrimut would have approved of our adaptation of it.
But what Terrence said earlier about the love story was what really attracted us to it. The play is much more single-minded about his attack on society. What interested in the three of us...
About hypocrisy, especially in a small town.
Justice can be bought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But what interested the three of us a lot was what were these two people really like and what was their relationship really like? And it turns out to be quite romantic in my head, at least.
In our three of us, we agreed.
At the end, it's the two of them in some way, it's a grotesque happy ending, if you will, because they have kind of purified themselves and are leaving an extremely corrupt world behind them.
It's Romeo and Juliet living into their 80s and really finding a better place. I find that aspect of the show very moving.
I do too. I mean, I remember the day that I suddenly realized, oh my, I'm back to West Side in another form, in another shape, in another time.
Mm-hmm. We should point out that we mentioned earlier the town has fallen upon hard times, but it has because Claire has forced, she's been getting her revenge for a long time. She bought up all of the factories, she bought up the land. And
she did, but you could call it revenge or you could call it, I had it in my head and it was awfully good just now. I've lost it. She was trying to get to the truth, really. She was trying to get attention, and attention must be paid, and that was her way to get attention.
And if you got the money, you can.
If you have the money, you can. So and she actually suffers herself during that time with being money.
But in seeing Anton again, I think her better self is evoked again, and his better self, and to see the two of them at in their 80s, falling in love all over again. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that in the theater, singing this ravishing music and words that John and Fred have written. It's quite unique. I've never seen a show like this, and I certainly don't think anyone will forget having seen it.
No.
It's very special that way.
My guests are Terrence McNally, who wrote the book for The Visit, which has finally been able to visit Broadway at the Lyceum Theater on West 45th Street. John Kander, who with Fred Ebb wrote the music, and Chita Rivera, who is starring in it, finally, after many years of almost starring in it. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lope. But you also talk about how you have had long connections with each other. Terrence, didn't you see Chita perform
West Side Story
when you were a student
at Columbia? I saw West Side Story, and that was a transforming show to anyone who cares about theater.
Right.
Who'd ever heard music and the complexity and the lyrics? It was Sondheim's first show, and the staging by Jerry Robbins. It was an amazing show. Didn't win a Tony.
Nope.
Famously,
it's hard to believe,
yep.
Isn't it? And famously,
because we still know every song.
And Walter Kerr said the score, you don't leave, not memorable. You'll be humming anything, and they didn't even mention the lyrics by Stephen Sondheim, making his debut.
And oddly enough, that gives you strength.
Yeah,
it really gives you strength, and it gives you. Unfortunately, it gives you faith for the future, because then you say, if that can happen to a West Side, and if it can happen to a Chicago, it happened to Chicago also. What's still running for 30-some years? Chicago.
Which you, I'm sure, John, feel rather happy about.
Well, yes.
And Cabaret. I mean, you could live off of those two shows alone, couldn't you? But weren't you the pianist in?
I was a sub in West Side Story, so I never got to meet the star.
But you worked as a substitute house pianist.
You've gotten your revenge.
Yes. No, that was a huge learning experience for me. I was just there for a few weeks, and I really mangled it at the keyboard, I must say. But it was. It really led to a lot of wonderful things in my life.
Claire and her younger self perform a gorgeous pas de deux in a lovely instrumental song. You composed it?
No, David Loud took the song Love and Love Alone, which I did write, and altered the rhythms in it, and out came this incredible mazurka, really.
So we have waltzes and mazurkas.
Sure.
Anything
no
is just plain old 4/4.
Anyhow, David did an exquisite job with that dance arrangement, which did not surprise anybody.
And you have these two wonderful people doing those dances. They also sing rather well. Michelle Vientamilla, is it?
Mm-hmm.
And John Riddle?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Both of whom I said, you're learning more being on stage with Chita Rivera 8 shows a week than you learned at any conservatory. Because they both were like, should we go? They both were in school. Do we go back for our second or third year? And I said, you're going to learn more on the stage at the Lyceum watching this woman work. And they said to me, you're so right.
They can always go back to school.
You can always go back to school, but you can only work with this extraordinary woman once.
Well, I also want to say that in rehearsals, their little eyes were popping out of their heads, and I told them to take every single moment and just remember what's going on in this rehearsal hall. And they're just getting better every single night.
You are nominated, as I said, you're all nominated for Tonys?
Yeah.
But, Chita, you've also won the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the Kennedy Center honor. Last week you received the Distinguished Performance Award for The Visit from the Drama League Awards. Are there any awards out there that you haven't won that you still want?
The Heisman Trophy. The Stanley Cup.
It's not too late.
And I know that people always ask this question when they have a group like you, but and I know the answer in advance, but still, Chita, you're 82 years old. John, you're 88. Terrence, you're 78. Any of you have any thoughts about retirement?
Why?
I knew that would be the answer.
I'm always shocked when people say, When are you going to stop?
Well,
stop.
Some
That's
people
like
do.
When are you going to stop living?
There's some people who retire early.
Well, they hate their jobs, I guess.
Yeah.
We don't have jobs. We're living our lives the way we wanted to, and we're blessed.
It's very hard to imagine giving up your passion before life is taken away from you.
Yeah.
I understand full well. I've been doing this show for over 30 years, and people ask me, do you ever imagine quitting? You know, I assume somewhere down the line I'm going to have to, but not in the near future, for the same reason, yeah. I'm sure.
Absolutely not. I don't know who I'd be, really. This has just been, as Terrence said, a serious blessing in my life.
Open run?
Yep.
The three of us are very lucky, really, really lucky that we work in the world that we do work in. I don't feel that that anything negative has come along to say, stop.
No.
Well, good luck with the Tonys, and it is an open run, so we don't know how long this thing is going to ultimately run. Let's hope it at least as soon as long as Cabaret and its how many incarnations?
I would love that. I'll come back. We'll come back for the 20th anniversary.
And as Terrence said, Cheetah, don't worry. You could do this part in a wheelchair. Since right now, it's a leg and a hand.
With a real prosthetic leg. And it's at the Lyceum on West 45th Street, just east of Broadway and 7th Avenue.
Right off Times Square.
Right, yeah.
Thank you all so much for being on our show. It's
Thank
been such a pleasure having you back.
Thank you.
Being here with you, recapturing the past. Well, I must admit, I've dreamed of it. And here we are at last. How could I behave as if we'd never met? Oh, no, my dear, please rest assured, I never did forget. Thank you.